Okay, I'm going to speak about policy.
Tomcat?
Going to put something in front between the internet and Tomcat. Unlucky device. So I'm going to tell why what is a proxy. I guess some people want some get some clarification. Why we use a proxy? I'm going to speak about the different protocol proxy can do between itself and the Tomcat. Typically, I'm going to speak about AGP. I'm going to speak about HTTPS. And I'm going to speak about HTTP2, especially H2 in via text. And I have one slide on proxying other stuff. So the presentation is not only on Tomcat, it's more on the front end, which is proxying to Tomcat. I'm very good in pressing the wrong button. So different proxies, the Apache HTTPD. I have one slide on Nginx. You can also use Traffic Server. In GBoss we have a Antutu proxy, and I'm going to mention one cluster. I've done some performance tests. You know, I like testing things, trying to see whether Tomcat is going to die when I put some node on it. So I've done a bunch of tests. And I'm ready to take questions at any moment. I have many slides, but if you find one topic not interesting, we can jump to the next one. So, well, I'm Jean-Frédéric Clerc, I'm working for Red Hat. I'm a Tomcat committer since a long, long time. I'm probably the oldest committer in the room. I'm a runner. I do the morning run, so everyone is welcome to sweat pit in the morning. And I've lived in Spain, Barcelona for 30 years, so I speak English and Catalan and Spanish. It's not aiming where I want. So what is a proxy? Well, basically a proxy is something between the application server and the internet. That's quite a very vague definition. But basically anything that protects your application server is not Tomcat. This could be considered as a proxy. Usually we expect it to make some load balancing, to do failover, and we could ask it to do some protocol termination. Again, I have used SSL most of the time, but I should have used PSL. I'll correct the slides one day, correct myself one day, but it's very hard. So we can terminate the SSL. We mean SSL termination or TLS termination. Basically, the prox, the encryption will stop at the proxy, and we will have clear text inside the intranet of the company. With HTTP2, what we can do is we can also terminate the H2 protocol in the proxy and then set old version of Tomcat without any problem and have the benefit of the new protocol. The big benefit of the new protocol, I have a longer talk on it on Friday. It's on Friday? Yeah.
Thursday.
Yep. So if you want to know the big benefit of using the new protocol, basically for someone using a browser, it's the latency. If you connect to a server which is very far away, like my bank in Switzerland, a page takes an awful lot of time to display. It's opened a lot of connections, and in some cases I only have half of the page because one of the connections didn't go and the browser did complain. So with H2, you make a single socket connection, and then you're going to make duplex all the information you have. You need to build a page in that socket. So you get all the things in the right order and very fast because you don't need to reopen the connection. What does a proxy? It understands a protocol or bunch of protocols and also the possible upgrades. Why do we need a proxy? Well, you probably need a proxy because you want to control the load that arrived to your application server. You don't want to break the your application, so a good way is to control the load in the proxy. The proxy could reject session or calls or check. For example, you can decide using mode rewrite to get rid of any connection that does not have a session name, because that means a new customer trying to access to your page. If your Tomcat is overloaded, then you could stop the guy to enter. So that way, your application have more time. You can also play with the session ID in your application. In order, for example, like if you don't have a session ID, you will move the thing to one server, which will give it a session ID that you can just load the way you want. It's a bit programming, but it's okay. You also use a proxy to serve static pages. A good idea is if you need a huge JavaScript, if you have a proxy, don't put it in Tomcat. Put it in HTTPD or whatever proxy you have. So it's going to be served without putting load on the Tomcat. You can also use it to control requests. I was going a bit too fast with mode rewrite, but you can use mode security. With mode security, it's a very sophisticated tool, not that well maintained. In Red Hat, we get some customer using it, and we had to work quite a lot to get it running correctly. But you can really filter a lot of things and decide which request you want to go to your application server, which request you don't want to go. The idea is that basically you don't want someone to make to try some kind of denial of service in the application. Basically, trying to make a bad database request by putting some wrong entry in somehow, you can protect that at the proxy level by putting rules on the request so that you can stop this request to go to your application. So that way, you don't end in an overloaded Tomcat. The proxy could do some dynamic configuration. We can do that in with mode balancer. You have a page. You can add a node, for example. You can do that using mode cluster. Mode cluster is a small project which is a kind of extension of mode balancer, which basically is able to automatically a root application that you deploy on your Tomcat accept if you start a new Tomcat and this new Tomcat that information where the proxy is located, you can also forward some information there so that mode cluster will automatically detect that there's a new node and which application this node is able to serve. Another thing, the proxy are going to be able to make some protocol translation, and you might be interested in not updating the Tomcat, but having the advantages of the H2 protocol that I was saying before. But you can also translate to different other things with the proxy. Well, it's not a lot, but you can do some stuff. So let's jump into the protocol, as I was speaking about the protocol translation. So basically, we're going to get process, and process are going to make either HTTP 2 or HTTP 1.1. So HTTP is quite an old protocol. I think it was invented before I was a committer. I wrote some of the extension long time ago, and it's a poorly designed protocol. I should blame of part of that, so don't hesitate to complain. It was basically the idea of HTTP is like we don't have much resources, so we're going to pre-process the headers, and we're going to put a number instead of putting like you have a content length, you know, you're going to have a content length if you have a post, for example, then you're going to tell this by having a number and the value. It's kind of optimizing. HTTP is a binary protocol, so you can optimize your query. So you pass once the request, and then you encode it in a way that Java will be able to decode it a little faster. It's limited. If you want to make a TSL, you'll have to use a tunnel. It had some limitation. There's no upgrade. Bigger header size causing problem because one the header will need to be in the first packet, so you need to make in some cases configure your network to, or you need to configure Tomcat and HTTPD to have, for example, a very big message in the HTTP, which it might not be what you want. There's no encryption, as I said before, and it had very limited authentication via the secret. When I was writing my presentation, I discovered that it was not documented in the HTTPD documentation, but it was implemented. So basically, several servers are supporting the HTTP protocol. Typically, with HTTPD, we can use a proxy HTTP or MojiK. We also have it in Undertow, and it's present in Nginx, and probably in some other server because it has been existing for a long time. I didn't spend time to check, but I know that other servers are supporting it. So that was about the HTTP. Any question on the HTTP? Who use HTTP? I quite a bunch of people. Still. So HTTP or HTTPS. There could be some reason to use HTTP or HTTPS, especially if you don't want to forward the TSL information, like you don't want to get a client certificate in Tomcat. It's more easy. In case you need, you have to use the SSL file, which basically going to read the SSL information, put it in some headers, and then on the valve side in Tomcat, you're going to convert this header into the right Java field use. Why to choose HTTP or HTTPS? Well, you might have some obligation of having your connection encrypted till you reach your database or something like that. We have customers that have that request. There should be no unencrypted data on the flow, so those customers are going to use HTTPS. Let's see. HTTPS on Tomcat using GSS is something which has quite high performance, not good performances. So you need to use OpenSSL again. that's maybe not
what you want.
If you use HTTP, make sure that you can trust your internet. And can you really trust your internet? Like, what happens if someone have a Windows box somewhere in the internet? What's going to happen? Especially those days, I've heard that some people had some issues due to, well, not doing the thing the right way. Another reason to use HTTP instead of EGP is like, basically, we make a lot of effort in HTTP, and more effort than in EGP. I don't think that's another question. Is like, are you interested in that the community is investing more energy in EGP and improving it, or it's just a lot better to use HTTP 1.1 and then try to improve things there?
Yeah, just asking for all the people that use AJP in the room, how frequently are we updating AJP, the protocol, or looking at new features and that sort of stuff?
I think we have not had much things in the protocol since basically around 10 years or something like that. So we are not able to do any upgrade. We have the limitation of the protocol. There's no next record in case, for example, if you have a big header, you like to have the size, and then you probably need the cloud to say, the rest of this header is going to be in the next record of the AGP blocks. And we don't have that thing. This is a kind of an improvement that would be very nice to have.
Yeah. So if you guys have any suggestions or things that you'd like to see the spec updated for, just let us know.
But we know that the protocol has limitation, and then the only way we can know what, if you're happy with it, we're not going to change it.
Yeah.
If you're not happy with it, then we can make an effort to change it. We have customers which are doing weird things with their cookie, for example. They find out that some people didn't understand that they could use a session ID instead of putting everything in a cookie. Well, that's a good way of having something you can load balance easily, because basically the cookie is going to carry all the information, but I'm not sure you want all this information through the internet, especially not encrypted in some cases. Sure.
For a future version of Tomcat, I'd be perfectly happy if we eliminated AJP and replaced it with HTTP2. So if we use H2 between the reverse proxy and Tomcat, it's essentially get all the benefits that AGP has or has had traditionally, but with a protocol that's going to have much better support in the future.
Yeah, definitely. That's probably one way to go. Actually, I have one slide on that. I was not thinking of using it instead of AGP, but that's a good suggestion. Because it's a new protocol, and we don't, for AGP, we had to design it. For H2, it had been designed by Google, and they spend a lot of time on it, so and there are a lot of people. So it's probably going to make a better protocol than three commuters sitting in a restaurant drinking beers. So, H2 in gear test. So, If you read the H2 specification, it's clearly said that you should not do that. But that could be quite handy, especially if you want, for example, to debug it. You have special version of browser where you can do it in clear text so that you can debug it. You need to recompile the browser for that. It is supported by HTTPD, by other tool. I can't remember if a traffic server does support it. I don't check for Nginx, not that much time for that. You know, someone using Nginx here? Okay, cool. we hear a lot about this. And then when I ask her, is someone using it? No one. So maybe.
Nobody wants to admit it.
I didn't touch using one.
Engineers.
Okay, what we will do the multiplexing of the H2 protocol. So again, H2 is a multiplex protocol. You're going to open one socket, you put all your requests in this socket, you're going to receive the page, you can make a lot of control there. What you would the multiplex it into the old protocol? Well, basically, for example, you have a whole Tomcat running, like Tomcat 6. Tomcat 6 is not going to do H2. No way, it's not even maintained, I think, or should not. Well, we could maintain it a little more. So that way you keep your backend unchanged, which could be an interesting solution, and you have all the advantage of the latency and using only one connection per browser, which, trust me, it's kind of a gain in the proxy, and it's also a gain, especially on the browser. I have in my H2 demo, I have two Raspberry Pi, and one is supposed to be like if you would be in Switzerland, and the other one if it's local, you will see that. And sometimes, or twice, like try my demo, show it, and then I give up on the one which is not using H2 because it would take too much time. That's also. Maybe you don't want to put more load on your Tomcat, even if you're running a Tomcat 8.5. Maybe you don't want to put multiplexing in the Tomcat, because that has some overhead. So you can put this overhead in the proxy. Now, this is here when you see the overhead. So basically, those are a bunch of tests that I've been doing. Those are real tests on a real cluster in somewhere in one of the Red Hat locations. So it's just a kind of stupid test using H2 load, which is a tool that comes with the H2 NGL H2 library, which is like the Apache Bench tool. I don't know who have used. One of us, you have used some Bench tooling thingy, like Apache Bench, yes, and H2 load. So you can do also. So this has been done by H2 load because Apache Bench is really not very good in performance. It's very hard to make a real load test with it. You need I need a bunch of clients to create the load to the server. I think here also, I think this is obtained by two boxes creating the load and a one Tomcat being tested on another node. So you can see that definitively you get some throughput differences. And it's using the GSSC, so that also perturbates the result a bit. But if you look to the overhead in Tomcat, you'll see. So this is the CPU usage. The goal is to try to reach 100%. Well, not really in this measurement because we want to show that one is better than the other. So we need some gap. So we see like we are around 15% more resources are needed in Tomcat if you're using H2 instead HTTP 1.1.
For lower throughput, okay. More resources for lower throughput.
Yeah, exactly. And then you see that you when you increase the size of the file, you lose a bit the benefit of the all the encoding the headers and things like that, which is basically what we were gaining in AGP, we also gaining in H2. I'm not going to touch the laptop because I will do more. So you jump in the configuration of the different proxies. Any question on the general part? Okay, so let's first try. So basically, I've been doing some tests to compare the different possibility using modproxy AGP, modgk, and modproxy HTTP. So I'm going to go through the configuration quite quickly. I guess if you're familiar with modgk, you've already seen that. If you're not, you're going to get familiar. So you need to load the module. The modgk is in the connector of Tomcat, so it's a sub C code we have in Tomcat. We are a community. We have basically Java, and we have a bunch of C small projects that we are using. You need to mount one URL to a worker, and you need to tell where you have the description of the worker. And so basically, we're going to tell that there's one worker, and we define the two balancer, and I have defined my two nodes there, which these are using some internal address and the standard AGP port. Any question on OGK? Good. Okay. We're doing the same with mod proxy AGP, and of course we do some load balancing. So you need to load a bit more stuff. You need to have a shared memory in order to share the information about the different workers and the loads. You need to put mod proxy AGP. You need to choose one of the balancer. I've chosen the mod request, and you need to put the proxy balancer. You define your things like I said. We use just a proxy pass. I have not put the reverse here because it was just to make some tests. So that's the idea. You make a proxy pass and you tell it balancer. You put the name of the balancer and the where it's going, and you find the balancer named AGP and the two members, which are the two Tomcats, and using AGP, of course. Can do the same. You can do exactly the same using HTTP. We just describe balancer differently and load the mod proxy HTTP here. And the name has changed, for it's more easy to understand, but it doesn't matter. I could have used my balancer here and in the other page. And you set the balancer member, you have the protocol, and you can use HTTPS also if you want. But you need to configure it, which I've not covered in the talk. If you're interested in the next conference, I can jump in this data, but that will make two sessions. And then I start to test it. So basically, that's exactly the that's the configuration I've used. This is, let's say, not a real test. This is in a big box, and I'm using virtual boxes to simulate the boxes. Because what I have noted is what starts to be very expensive if you want to go fast, it's the routers. At some point, a router is as expensive, good router is as expensive as a good box. So at some point you start to measure the performance of the router instead of measuring the performance of the software. So yeah, I've been using VIO, which is a virtual network inside the host of the of the virtual machines. Basically, I have a RHEL 7 that had the VIO installed, and then I'm using these virtual networks, this virtual network to connect the box together, and I'm sending the load through this virtual network. So you can control in the virtualization how many nodes you start, so you can release. It's like if they were in a different boxes, or nearly if they were in different boxes, except they share the memory. And they share the processor, but not really, because the cores, you can separate them. So it's more or less representative, but it's like all benching. You bench and you show what you want to show. That's a bit the issue. So here, if you look, there's no big difference. So you can't really choose which protocol, or whether you use WebGK or modproxy to do some performance reason on the HTTPD side.
A question, if you have about the same results with WebGK and the other, but what I see is that you need to load more models for other than WebGK, right?
Yes.
So you need more resources. Just
yeah, but it's correct. It uses more memory, but it's very little. Yeah, so every time you put a model in HTTPD, it's going to consume something for each request, but it's very little. So this is the processor usage, and you can see that at some point MojiK does not seem to be that big, that well with the huge blocks. But I have not looked further. So basically, with those two slides, we arrive at it's difficult to get a real conclusion. I think I have a slide for that. More easy. So there's no big difference for the performances. So AGP might be more easy because you don't need the valve if you are forwarding some TSL implementation. AGP is not encrypted and it does not support upgrade. So at the end, the choice is not the performance. The choice is what your application is. You can't decide for the performance. So let's move on. So so the H2 in the clear text. So this is the idea here, is to terminate the H2 protocol and then to make HTTP 1.1 to the different Tomcats. Here you need to load a bunch of modules. For example, you need to load the H2 protocol, the H2 protocol. You need to tell which protocol you're accepting to HTTPD. Should not do that. Just as example, you can put all the, so this won't work in the internet. No processor allow it, except if you want to debug. You have to load the proxy H2, and you have to define the protocol you're using, and here in this case I have not done any load balancing. I have not looked if I can do load balancing. I have not asked my friend Stefan if it's doable, but the idea is like that should be working too. You need to configure a Tomcat, so this is the connector. You said that it's going to support the upgrade, and then when it's going to get the connection, it's going to upgrade automatically. So it's going to do your protocol directly.
One question, I haven't seen the eDirect port. What is...
That's the redirect.
That's a typo, yeah, thanks.
And with this protocol, can you use a rewrite call on the going HTTPS?
Yeah, Tomcat is going to do the demultiplicate thing for you, so you... I completely forgot to say it in the presentation. Yes, proxy pass, you can use mode rewrite instead of proxy pass. Like you can there's mode rewrite. I don't know. I didn't check if there's a mode rewrite took in the course. If you use mode rewrite, yeah. Well, regularly in the Apache con, there's people speaking about mode rewrite. I've been using it to, for example, to decide that this URL or this request with a session ID need to go to the AGP, and you can use to modify it. Any other question? And does that answer your question? Ça répond à ta question? I can do that in several languages. I can't do the presentation in other things than English. So, I could jump over those slides. I don't know how much time I have left. I'm going to be kicked out by the next speaker.
We fight that in front of the beers.
So, no one is using Nginx, and from time to time on a conference you find a guy who uses Nginx and start to argue how bad we are with such GPT. It seems you're not that audience. So I've prepared a bunch of slides for that kind of people asking the questions. So that's why I start with a big title, just provoke a bit. So I will go quite fast on it if there's no one using it. Okay. So the Nginx configuration, well, you don't need to configure much more than HTTPD. You need to tell many and how many workers is going to ask. This is like the process you're going to start in HTTPD. The worker connection is a kind of like a number of threads you're going to start that process. And you define your Tomcat. And they have a nice syntax, which is not too big to type. And I've kept the OpenSSL stuff, which is not a lot more variables. And you have the proxy pass command, which so you can see that it's going to proxy pass to something which is a local CD, which is here, and define the two servers. Wrong button. I'm an idiot. So I've done the first test. Not to make the Nginx people cry and start to complain. So So I've been doing, I've been asking the proxy to make the H2 identification in order that the proxy do a lot of work. And it do also the SSL termination. So basically this is the more load you can create on the proxy and the less load you can create on the Tomcat. So this is the multiplexing H2. So these are the throughput I'm getting. If I aim at the right place, oops, sorry. Okay, this is the CPU that is used. So you can see that a good thing in Nginx is kind of flat, but doesn't give the throughput we are expecting. And HTTPD is flat and then suddenly bumps. So I was a bit wondering what happened there.
Which MDM are you using?
Edmonds.
The default one?
Yes. I don't even check. I'm sure I'm using it. I don't know if you have seen this discussion in one of the Twitter people promoting Nginx, which went in a weird way discussion with the committers. So basically, yes, if you look to that slide, it seems there's something not quite right because we're flat and very low and they are using a lot more resources. So I have next slide would be good.
A question, this particular slide is for one run or many runs?
I think I've sent 1 gigabyte of data. It's one session of H2 test with I think something like 10,000 requests, something like that. I've not made stats on run. I make several runs to check that I was getting something that looks similar.
I have seen sometimes that you need to kind of warm your server before trying to have a more accurate data for results.
I'm making a short test and then I'm making a root test. I think I'm making a time collision for 1 minute and then I'm making my root test. The script are available in somewhere in the GitHub, so you can review the test easily. If you don't, email me. I'm very happy to improve my test or help you to yours. This is doing DLS, the multiplication, it's just doing the SSL layer. And we can see we are a lot better. And we can see also that at some point when you increase the size of the file, apparently Nginx stay flat and then we go up. The idea is like basically if you look to this graph, if you're really looking for performances, you're going to say there's definitely something wrong in this test. Because why the hell we are not using 100% of CPU and then have a limit in the throughput? You can have bad software which will loop, which uses 100% of the CPU. But here we assume that the software is good. So if you try to push the more data you can on the line or in a virtual I/O, you expect that the throughput will increase and the CPU will increase too. And you expect that at the end of your test, if your test has been made the correct way, that you're going to finish with the line. Yeah, you're going to finish with the line at 100% CPU. So this is not a good test.
Have some more.
So you can't conclude with those tests. They look to be kind of like a good propaganda for HTTPD. This is why I was keeping them. So the result is like, okay, it seems in Nginx, even with, we have told it that you can have a large number of connections and large number of threads, it is not going that well. So the idea is to use two process instead of one. And in HTTPD, we tend to use many processes. And it's not very good there because it's for robots, and I have five processes which are running. So it means basically my OS is going to make some context swapping, which is useless. You need, if you're making a load test and trying to get the best you want from a box, you need to make sure that you don't have more process than you have cores, because if you're making 100% load, you don't want that the Linux kernel is changing from one process to the other. So you need to limit the number of processes. What I can mention is that when you build Nginx, it's also rebuilding OpenSSL. So I've done the test with the two workers, and if you do that, you can see that Nginx is behaving a lot better. So if you're using Nginx, don't trust them too much. Make a configuration a bit like the HTTPD one, and then it's going to work better. I have no idea with the value they have published in the internet, I don't like that, but they kind of said that they were using the default, which is not true. Other proxies, I'm going to mention shortly. HAProxy is used in the cloud, for example, in OpenShift. We started Todd that use HAProxy on each node so that we can do get Kubernetes doing the load balancing. Another proxy is Modcluster. Well, Modcluster is in fact using it's a modified version of Mod Balancer. We have the Undertow proxy, which is a ZBot project, and it's a side project of the servlet container. The slide on Traffic Server, is anyone using Traffic Server? Makes sense. So you see the configuration is not that big, it's quite easy to get. You define you define your server, you define what you're going to do, you define your certificate, you remap. This was a local host test, and then you don't forget to overload the right IP, otherwise your test was not good. I didn't rebench it this year, so I didn't put the slide. You can do the protocol using a proxy. Typically, I'm using the proxy tunnel, the WebSocket proxy tunnel, which I think need to be your name, proxy tunnel. We can do a ZBot remoting on top of that. You can also mix, I have a bit too much here, you can mix HTTP 1.1 and WebSocket, so that means you can do the upgrade directly, because basically you don't care about the tunnel. There's a new directive in HTTPD trunk. You can you tell it you use the WebSocket protocol, so it's going to create to start the tunnel, and then you tell it which kind of upgrade it's doing. And you don't care much because basically this is a tunnel. Once it has passed the headers, it's going to tunnel at the upgrade. So basically, each packet is going to be sent to the wire and back. Don't expect a huge performance in HTTPD because this is not the best performance you can get out of it. If you really want to proxy a protocol, I think you need to decrypt a part of the protocol before forwarding it. So I think I'm near end of my time. I'm over. So proxy or not a proxy? Well, if you want failover, you need a proxy. If you have an old Tomcat and you want to use new protocol, you need a proxy. If you don't want to use OpenSSL in Tomcat, then either you are patient and have a lot of money and use GSSE and hope the best. there's not been improvement in this area. I think the Oracle people are not very motivated with crypto. They should, but. And otherwise, well, I have another talk later that shows that you can use directly Tomcat. Which proxy? Well, it's a kind of obvious. Some Apache solution is better. So I'm a bit over time, but I take some questions.
Hey, it's a capability question. I have experience from MonJK, but is there a functionality difference between the different proxies that you mentioned today? So, for example, can they all do like active passive route? Can all the proxy configurations you mentioned, can you configure active passive routing?
You mean like configuring the where you route the stuff?
Right, so you have a primary node and you have a backup. Should the primary become unavailable, it routes to the backup?
The load balancer and these kind of things.
Okay, so all those modules are capable of
that? Yeah, and if you use the load balancer, you can, you have a page, you can configure it like
so yeah, for the most part, there's feature parity between ModJK and ModProxy, either AJP or HTTP. ModJK did a lot of these things before they were available in ModProxy modules, but by now, they're pretty much the same. The difference is in the defaults. ModJK automatically configures a bunch of things by default. You don't have to worry about them. If you're using ModProxy, either of the flavors, AJP or HTTP, you need to add a few more directives in order to get all of that stuff you get for free from AJP, from ModJK.
Yeah, the proxy port.
No, mostly things like sending all the forwarding all the SSL TLS information, client certificate, protocol, all that kind of thing.
Because otherwise, you need to read them.
Explain ModJK is more of an extension of the web, so that's kind of what I understand. It's easy for me to front it with not just Apache key, but any web server.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I was able to worry about it.
ModJK is a reverse proxy. You know? Yeah. It's just one that you have to compile yourself.
Or you get a distribution money, I mean,
yeah.
I'm looking for Red Hat's lead distributed.
Yeah. We have to switch.
And imagine now you see us. If you complain to me. Or to me. Okay.
Quick question, just about WebSockets. I mean, do you, WebSockets and SSL, you didn't go into much detail on them, but like in Jinx and HTTP, is there any working for?
Oh yeah, you can. In my example, the I think it's like basically the DSL layer is above the protocol, so you just add an S, and then it's going to trigger the SSL proxy configuration you have put in HTTPD, and then use WebSocket through SSL. I don't have an example of hand, but I should have done it, but it's already at the end and a bit over that. More questions? Okay, then thank you very much.